Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Just going to go through some very few scores, area scores, because we're going to have a full coaches show. We're going to have to speed everybody up. Of course, the game you heard live on Q92 with Paul Ramo and myself, Yellow Medicine East won its first ball game over Lacaparo, and 24-13 was the final there. Dawson Boyd shut out Lakeview 33-0. Mineola over Bold, number one, number two teams in Class A, 42-28, and Canby came back and defeated McRae 28-20. So we'll turn our attention now to our game. Tony Smith's in the studio. I think you're going out for elementary football in a little bit.
Yeah, we have elementary at 10 o'clock.
Okay. Well, we commented a couple times last night throughout the broadcast, and then with you, have you ever seen a team hold the ball for a whole quarter? In this case, Yellow Medicine East got the opening kickoff, so they started their drive on their own in their own possession or territory with 9 seconds off the clock, and then they held the ball the whole first quarter and scored with 30 seconds into the second quarter.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've never seen that, and I had a too close of a view to watch the whole thing happen. Yeah, you know, we had a couple of opportunities. They had a first and 21 time, and we're able to convert, and those are things that you have to be able to get off the field on, especially with a team that runs the ball. Unfortunately we didn't, and they kept their momentum and maybe in some instances that set the tone for the night.
Yeah, it did. And they even went on fourth down in their own territory on the 35-yard line. So they had confidence in that running game.
Well, I suppose when you're 3 yards in a cloud of dust, it's, you get fourth and three or less, they're going to give it that opportunity. Yeah, and watching back the film last night when I got home and again this morning, there were some opportunities for us, and unfortunately we didn't cash in. I'll give them some credit too. Very nice job up front for those guys. We tried 3-man fronts, 4-man fronts, 5-man fronts. We tried blitzing out of all of them, and they were up to the task on just about every one of those occasions against us. And you know, we got to halftime 18-0, unfortunately, and felt like we had some opportunities to close that down, but obviously that's where the score was at the time. And I thought, hey, we've been here before. Let's get our momentum going into the second half. It's going to be our ball. And unfortunately, we went 3 and out. It's one of those games where we couldn't seem to get any traction, couldn't seem to get any momentum in any shape or form. I told the group afterwards, hey, we competed, we played hard. They played hard as well. They just executed a little bit better than we did.
Yeah. Well, Paul mentioned a couple times he's done all three of your games on the radio and saw things that you haven't seen for a while, or saw some things that you've never seen before. And turnovers certainly are kind of your Achilles heel.
Yeah, right now we're sitting at, 12 turnovers and after three games, and that's not a good number to be at. We're doing a nice job of giving. We're not doing a very good job of taking.
Early Christmas.
And, you know, some of it's kids trying to make plays. You know, for example, on that play down by TJ down in the corner of the end zone there late in the second half, I mean, it was an effort play. He tried to reach the ball out over the goal line, and I, from my angle, I couldn't tell if he was across the goal line or not. But you know, those are some effort things that we've that unfortunately are hurting us at times, because we're not able to either hang on to the ball or get the ball back or whatever. But that's been a tough thing. I mean, you take a look at our three games; those 12 turnovers. You know, if we're half of those, we're sitting at a different outlook here after three games, and you know, we can look at it as, you know, yeah, but, or what if, or the fact of that's where we're at, and we have to clean that up and be better.
Well, you still were, there were some positive things that came out of last night, that you were able to move the ball, and you had some big plays yourself. I know their second touchdown was, you were inside their 10-yard line when they picked that off and ran it back 95 yards. And then the play you just talked about with the fumble that went into the end zone and turned out to be a touchback for Yellow Medicine. So you moved the ball down.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, we've been able to, whether it's run or pass, been able to have some success in our first three games offensively. And so there again, if we clean up our turnover piece, you know, and the one on that first interception for the return, you know, a lot of teams will play man coverage down by the goal line. And so we lined up our three guys to one side and our one guy to the left and kind of crisscross everybody, and a lot of times guys will get caught up in the wash and there's a guy leaking out and that's open, but they sat in a zone coverage there, and I didn't expect that they were going to have that down in that part of the field. And to be honest with you, they probably played zone coverage probably about five snaps all night long. So they picked a great time, or yeah. I picked a terrible time.
Yeah. So let's go. I know you don't have all your stats in that, but let's go through your two scores anyway.
Okay. Well, yeah, kind of par for the course with last night. The camera that we used for our stats had a little bit of a hiccup last night too. So working on getting that taken care of, and I'll have that in the paper on for Tuesday. But, you know, the two scoring drives. The first one, again, we put a nice drive together, got down inside the 5-yard line, and then we go with our Tebow package and stuck Caden Molden behind center and ran our wedge once and nothing, but went back at it and got our yard and a touchdown. It was kind of a crazy play in the fact that Molden was across and everyone had kind of stopped, but the officials hadn't blown the whistle dead yet, hadn't given it a touchdown. So the play, I think Caden ended up being tackled on probably about the 6 or 7 yard line when it was all said and done, and that seemed a little weird. And then the last score, and then, well, the extra point was good. And then on the last score, late in the fourth quarter, Davis rolled out, and Caden Molden was open at about the 20, or excuse me, about the 35-yard line, caught it, and outraced the defensive back for a 60-yard touchdown. And then we went for two and weren't able to get it. But, you know, there were, I thought, while there was some opportunities, or they did a nice job with us up front, I thought there was some nice individual efforts on the defensive side as far as making some plays. Caden Kessler had four tackles, and he was in on 10 assists. He was involved last night. TJ Mitchell had 6 tackles, and he also had 6 assists. Landon Weber had 4 tackles, 5 assists. A transfer student, Jesse Wynn, he got some snaps last night, and I think it was maybe his first or second snap. He's in and gets rid of the center and bats the ball out of the lineman's or out of the running back's hands, and we get their fumble recovery. So he was pretty excited about that. Set up the score.
Yeah.
So I mean, we did some nice things, and you know, you look ahead and looking into this game, I thought, you know, this I really felt good about this game for us. because, you know, you look ahead and you got Bold and you got Camby, who's currently sitting at 3-0, and you got Mineota, and you know, you're looking at trying to, after next week, or next week's the halfway point of the year already. And so you start to position yourself and figure out where you can end up being, because that's where you're thinking, okay, can we get to 5-3 or 4-4? And so now we got to work out for us. And I think this group, and we've said it before, this group's a pretty tight-knit group. They respond. They play hard. They're invested in it. And so, you know, we'll go back to the drawing board and see what we can correct and how we can get better.
Well, you'll have to play a role of a spoiler now. So,
yep.
Yeah, you got everything to gain and nothing to lose.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, we got homecoming this upcoming week and Bold on homecoming, and then you take a look at the rest of the way. Hey, can we get to 4-4? Can we find a way to get to 5-3? That's got to be our mindset, as opposed to saying, okay, well, this is a loss or that's a loss. And I think that this group's going to do that. They're a competitive bunch.
Yep. Okay, let's look at Bold and homecoming festivities. Kind of a coach's nightmare sometimes.
Can be. There's a lot of different pomp and circumstance that goes into the week, but you know what? The kids love it, it's good for the communities. Friday with the parade and the pep fest and everything that's going on this year is going to be the first year. We're actually going to take all K-12 kids, and we're going to go out to the high school at about 12:15, and we're going to take an aerial photo of LQPV out on the football field.
Sure.
And so that's going to be a cool experience. So it's a lot of fun for everybody.
That reminds me, you know, it was homecoming last night for Yellow Medicine East, so they had a lot of things. And what a picturesque idea when they had the color guard out at midfield. The band played the national anthem, and then they stayed there for a while. And here comes a antique plane flying over the field at probably at light level, and it was low
and it was loud.
It was loud, yeah, from Fagan. Yeah.
Yes, so. that was a cool addition to the pregame festivities last night, that's for sure.
Okay, your other teams in football this week.
This week, well, as far as recapping last week, our junior high was they played on Tuesday night. They played Dawson. And then our JV was scheduled to go over there on Monday. Well, we got over there on Monday. We're supposed to play at 5 o'clock, and it rained, and it hailed, and it was wind. So they canceled it, and so the JV went over there on Tuesday. And Corey Larson and I talked about this, but beforehand, because we wanted that extra practice day, and it wasn't perfect, and we understood that. But we practiced till about 5:15 with everybody, as did Dawson. And then our B squad guys, or our JV guys, got on the bus and drove over there and played roughly a half of football. We wanted to get the practice time in, but we also wanted to make sure we got those guys some reps too. So like I said, it wasn't perfect, but and I told our guys there was no control over that. It's what happened, and that's unfortunate. But looking ahead here, the JV plays on Monday. They play at home against YME, and then the junior high, I'm drawing a blank on who they're playing, but I believe they play on Tuesday night as well. So, a lot of things happening, and then obviously homecoming on Friday.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on Friday, and I guess we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Tony Smith going to hop in his truck and run out to school and work with the elementary people. And John Sherb's in the studio. We'll be talking cross country after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more, awards, and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information, or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, you'll find Bongard's cheese 10% off and Top Sirloin 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Mow like a pro with Hustler Turf zero-turn mowers. They engineer their mowers to be maintenance and service friendly for the everyday homeowner while not sacrificing the build and cut quality they're known for. Hustler Turf zero-turn mowers deliver professional grade cut quality for a perfectly manicured lawn. Come in to Kyle's Small Engine Repair to see the Hustler difference for yourself today. For more information, visit Kyle's Small Engine Repair, located at 2843 Highway 212, just west of the Dawson Golf Course.
Come on over to Canby for Fall Fest going on today, put on by the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce. You can shop local sales and the businesses. Canby Classic Cinema will be hosting a car show. You can cruise Main Street, ride and join them at the Canby Theater Car Show from 9 to 2. Free movie at 10:30. Live entertainment with the Highway Call Band, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be family bowling at Lancer Lanes Event Center. Free for kids age 18 and under from 10 to 2. Canby for Kids events, car and bike show, 10 to noon. Kids games, 10 to 2. Be a food booth put on by St. Peter's Peace Organization, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Some of the things going on in Canby during their Fall Fest, that is today, sponsored by the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce. You're invited. Care for the whole family's fabrics with a new Whirlpool dryer from Odin and Zimbelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center in Madison. Choose from a variety of options like the auto dry system, which helps prevent over drying, or time dry, which lets you manually control your drying schedule. Help keep wrinkles from setting in with the wrinkle shield option and easily transfer loads from the washer to this automatic dryer with a wide opening hamper door. Get all the details today at Odin and Zimbelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center, downtown Madison. It's September 16th today. Happy birthday to Dwayne Allen, Francis Brandenberger, Doug Norenberg, David and Dennis Vonderhaar, Sherry Skorcheski. Happy birthday to Miranda Overlander Gallagher, Julie Benega, Pam Norenberg, Wayne Knudsen. Happy anniversary today to Stan and Sue Johnson, Paul and Mona Buer, Kurt and Angie Shellstead, Pam and Kenny Fernholz. Tomorrow the 17th, happy birthday to B.J. Bendel, Dr. Clint Bond over at Madison Chiropractic, Garrison Hale, Dennis Lindy, Travis Redepenning, Gary Houck, Beth Borstead. Happy birthday Sunday to Mark Halverson, Kelsey Bicey, Tony Karstens. And a happy anniversary on the 17th to Randy and Jody Mosing, Lyle and Lynn Breberg, Chad and Kathy Stry, Lauren and Darlene Neldner, and Eldon and Norma Knopp. Hope you all have a great day and a great weekend.
And happy 70th birthday to twins, David and Dennis Vonderhaar, today.
Back here at the studio, talking cross country now with John Cherb, and two events to talk about: an Invitational in Milbank last Saturday. Here, got a late start because of the rain over there. I don't know if that affected the course at all, but and then up in New London Spicer on
Thursday.
Yep. So, fire away, John.
Yeah, Milbank, we over there. I know we got there, start 9:30. We got there about 8:30. And I already, Monty had already gotten there, sent a message there holding everybody because they had some lightning there. And we had stopped. I had heard some lightning earlier on the way over there. So it's like, okay. So then they finally, we got the coaches together and everything else. And it's like, okay, you know, what are we going to do? Because, you know, we want these kids to get warmed up and everything else. And had a coach's meeting. We went through some different ideas and finally decided let's move a half an hour later, start 10 o'clock around the junior high kids first, and then run them, and then we'll just go from there, and then maybe look at combining some races to cut down on some time we lost. So we ended up combining the junior high boys and girls into one race, and we combined the JV boys and girls in one race. So that really cut down a lot of time. So that worked well. Then the race, it was fun running the rain. It was a nice rain. It wasn't heavy. It wasn't tearing the course up because everything is dry enough now where you get a quarter inch, half an inch of rain, you don't even notice it at all. The course is solid. So it was a solid course. And then we had another rain delay right after the junior high kids completed. Another half an hour sit down because of lightning also, so they shut us down for another half an hour, and then we were able to get in.
Can you wear spikes?
Oh, yeah. You can wear spikes, whatever. If you want to go all the way up to half inch, whatever you want, you can go up to some really turf treaders, you know, how deep you want to go, because I've got all the way up to that. And some like them. You know, if you're on a hard surface, you don't like it as much because now you're not digging into the surface as easy. If you're running on a lot of asphalt or concrete, it doesn't feel comfortable on your feet running distance. But, no, it was good, and I thought our kids handled it well over there, and it was a good experience. We had a lot of new kids, new spots.
And in South Dakota, you only count four.
Yep, we only caught four there, so that was kind of an interesting thing for us and to see where we fit in there, and that was fun with the four. Junior high, we went over there and they combined them. Like I said, our junior high girls, our top runner was Tally Hersom. I always screw that up, but she was third and ran really, really well. You know, she usually kind of feeds off of Bryn, but Bryn was showing it at the fair, so this was a chance for her to kind of, where does she fit in and how she gets, you know, kind of gets in that mode. So very good finish for her, finishing third overall. Tegan Conroy was 21st. Oh, I should mention that. Hersom was 13:10 for a 3,000-meter course. Conroy was 21st at 15:28. Addie Bond was 23rd at 16:04. Celeste Jenkins was 22nd at 16:01. And the girls' junior high placed fourth over there. So that's really nice to get them a chance to see how they place. And that was nice to have them. On the boys' side, during that same 3,000-meter course, Matt Bothan won it. Very good race. Nice race he got into there. He was patient early. Some of the kids went out a little bit hotter and just slowly worked himself up and got up on that front side. He won it with a time of 12:03. Then we had Aaron Will at 21st at 15:05. Eddie Felton at 23rd at 15:16, and Max Bothan at 26th at 15:50. And the junior high boys also placed fourth. So that's, again, it's a good experience for those four individuals. You know, with the scoring four, we have four, and the place that. Then we JV girls, they ran the 4,000-meter course. Like I said, we had a bunch of kids gone or nicked up. I got some kids I'm trying to hold back a little bit. See if they're just, we're trying to get them a little bit fresher here down the road. And so we held them out just to see where they're at. But we still, Grace Vosick was our top, she was our second. Sadie Rosendale was our top runner. She was seventh at 20:20 for a 4K. Grace Vosick was ninth at 20:33. Abigail Alonzo was 15th at 21:24. Daytona Bissett was eighth at 20:31. So we had a really, really nice pack in there. JV girls placed second over there. JV boys, Luke Stock was our top runner. They ran that 4,000-meter course. He was sixth overall at 16:34. Then followed by Blake Thompson at 12th at 17:42. Baxter Kolff at 13th at 17:45. Brody Nelson at 14th at 17:45. Charlie Will at 15th at 17:46. Brendan Sherb at 16th at 18 flat. Hudson Giese at 24th at 18:39. Porter Peterson was 25th at 20:01. And the JV boys placed second. So it's good for these guys that aren't quite getting that varsity taste to have a chance to compete as a team also. And that's, you kind of like to see them working off each other. It was a nice pack in there, and that was good. You know, we had one in the front. We just kind of worked our way in. It was good to see us build off that. Varsity girls, they ran the 5K course over there. They have two loops, a 3,000-meter loop and a 2,000-meter loop. Chloe was gone. She's at Showing at the Fair also. So, again, this gave a chance for Brooklyn. Brooklyn Starrard ran a really smart race. I think it's her fastest time she's ever ran. She finished 21st at 21:51. So, you know, for a young eighth grader, it's a chance to kind of get that feel of it. Now, you know, the scary thing for her as an eighth grader, she doesn't have someone to lead off of. So that's kind of, you know, we're kind of growing as we go, and that's what we're looking at. Then Taylor Wood was 27th at 23:26. Reese Oxnard was 32nd at 24:15. Harper Grenells was 28th at 23:42. Alyssa Sawinski was 38th at 25:33. And Micaiah Poost was 41st at 30:14. You know, it's just, you like the way the girls really kind of building. It's just, we're trying to mix and match and then, you know, trying to get some kids healthy and see where we're at. The girls ended up placing fifth over there. Flander ran a really good time. They only had 30 points, but they ran well. They beat Breckenridge by one, and then Milbank was 2 points behind. So it was a very, very tight field in the top three teams there. And then we had 94. Boys, Gavin Carl was fourth at 17:05, and that's, you know, that's right, that 17-minute barrier trying to break that, and that's what he's kind of building off of. You know, he's trying to, we're trying to get him to be a little smarter early. We're trying to get him more attacking in some middle, you know, and try, and he's trying to change a little bit his philosophy instead of going out guns a-blazing, trying to kind of feel it early and then kind of seeing where you want to make your moves, and he's understanding a lot better, and that's what we're hopefully keeping moving him on. But he was fourth overall the time at 17:05. Tayden Clark was eighth at 17:45, and I think that's his first time he's ever broke 18 minutes for a 5K. So that's a really good movement there. And then Eli Hagel was 11th at 18:04. James Weber was 18th at 18:26, and Joseph Felton was 27th, 18:59. So a very, very solid pack. You know, at the front and middle was good for scoring four, so it was a nice race for us.
If I'm right, the Milbank has a real steep hill on the
They got to hit that twice. There's a steep hill on the backside of the clubhouse, and that's a good climb that you got to climb, and that was good for them to handle that hit twice. So, and that's and the course is fast. I know the kids always say, "Geez, is the course short, fast, or?" It's fast, you know, because it's the surface is not that devastating, and the running area is very solid for the feet. So. Traditionally run, I know there was one year it was short, but I think it's pretty darn close to being right at that 5K course. But still, it's nice to kids see the kids can run fast when they get the right conditions.
Okay, and then Thursday?
I'll give you 1 second. Oh. Scoring.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. That's okay. Boys were second. Milbank's boys are tough. They really have a nice program over there, and they've really kind of rebuilt themselves back up. They won it with 15, and we were second at 41. 15 with four scores, so it was just nice mixing there. Because the Madison kid and then our kid, Gavin, broke them up. That was kind of breaking up their pack. But still, it's a good competition for us and seeing where we're at. So that was really fun to have that Saturday morning run to kind of get that out of the way, just to kind of remind what it's like to run Saturdays. Then Spicer. Spicer turned into, I don't want to say a zoo, but geez, did we get teams coming out of the woodwork. I mean, we thought, went over, oh, it's going to be 15 teams, we're going to see what we got. I think by the time they started the first race, it was 23 teams, and they were all big school teams. And it was just like, okay, this is going to turn into, and then all of a sudden the weather changed. Then they decided to make some changes, so then they decided to combine the junior high races, combining the varsity races, combining, because that storm that came through on Thursday, that wall was going to hit, and they wanted to try to get everybody in there. So it turned into, now when you have like Sartell, Dassel Cokato, St. John's Prep, you're throwing in some big schools there, and so it's like going, eyes got very big, and some of the kids, I thought our kids handled it well. They got caught in some spots. They weren't ready for that kind of, that all of a sudden we're going to throw everybody together so fast, and then that they got kind of caught in that little bit. But you compete, you go what you can, and that's all you can ask, and that's part of, you know, you learn on the go, and I thought the kids learned on the go and did very well with it, and that was a good start for us over there. So they got a mile and a half course for the junior high. We got Bryn back. Bryn was second overall, and it's the closest she's been to the Spicer girl, because the new Spicer girl, she ran earlier, and she beat her pretty soundly. I think Bryn was like fourth or fifth. Now she got second behind her, and she wasn't that far. But she was second overall at 10:59. Talia Hursom was 16th at 11:51, had a really, really bad side ache at a mile mark. I didn't know if she was going to finish or not. She fought through it and hung on to finish 16th. So that's part of that seasoning and growing and understanding. It's very, very tough for a seventh grader, just because you don't know what it's like to push through that spot of, it hurts, what do you do? And I thought she really came back nicely to get in there. Tegan Conroy was 23rd at 12:15. Aiden Bond was 42nd at 13:26. Celeste Jenkins was 50th at 14:17. And the junior high girls were fourth over there on all those teams. So that was really good to kind of know what we got coming up down the road. If they can keep building off each other, there's some very good talent coming up. Junior high boys, same course. They ran them all together. The mob that took off there was like, it's like, what was it? Sartell had, I think, 35 kids in the junior high race. It's just like, they just bring a bus just for the junior high, as many kids they had in that, and it was just a sea of blue all over the place. But Max, Matt Bothan was 10th overall at 10:26. Good race to get in the competition. Final was like, never had an opening. And I think he got kind of caught with some of the horses went out really fast and couldn't come back on them. He had to waste a lot of energy trying passing, catching people. But that's part of the learning process as you go through. Eddie Felton was 80 at 12:51. Max Bothan was 81st at 12:57. and Aaron Will was 89th at 1335. JVs, they combined, like I said, they combined everybody through that, and like I said, that was a wall and a half trying to find kids, and you'd like to try to get to watch all the finishes of all the races while you're stuck getting everybody through, so I didn't really see the last half mile of race because I was caught on the one backside trying to see how the kids are doing at the 2 mile mark. Grace Vosick was 11th, 25-30. Daytona Bissett had a really good race. She kind of found her niche a little bit there in that path, and everything else got out, worked into it, and she just missed breaking 25 minutes. So that's something that's going to hopefully help her down the road, is get some confidence to do that. She was 7th overall at 25-02. Abigail Alonso was 38th at 28-86. Sadie Rosendahl was 17th at 26-27. Micaiah Poos was 22nd at 26.53, and Madison Lee was 66 at 33.06. So again, it's just good to see where we're at finishing in there, and going to hopefully build. And like I said, the biggest thing we're missing on that JV girls is that confidence. They're kind of haven't really got that confidence of being, you know, where secure where they're at. They're kind of all over the place. JV boys, they ran that 5K also. Luke Stock was 29th at 20.51. Landon Keema was 49th at 21.44. Blake Thompson was 53rd at 21.55. Baxter Colliff was 84th at 23.39. Brendan Sherb was 74th at 23.10. And Charlie Lowell 60th at 22.30. Varsity girls, like I said, they got them combined, everything else, and I know Chloe got out and got a little hotter, and she should have liked to have had her found the Morris girl and kind of shadowed her, and she was through the first mile was in front of the Morris girl, and she paid for it. Yeah, but the what was really good to see her was the first time she did that, Morris went off that hot and hit the wall. She actually regrouped and got back into the race, and that's the best thing about it is these processes of learning. She was 24th at 22.11. Brooklyn Sterwood, who was actually sick for most of the week after coming back from Milbank, so she was having some issues with the breathing part, and that's just part of that being knocked down with it. She was 52nd at 24.04. Taylor Wood was 66th at 24.39. Harper Grunholz was 67th at 24.25. Alyssa Swinski was really nice to jump into the varsity because I ended up pulling Reese out, and so we were going to run four, and I asked her about jumping in, and she had no problem jumping in, so you really like to see how she jumped in there, and she ended up finishing 97th at 26.45. The girls are 15th out there. Again, it's just we're trying to mix and match, and we're just bouncing. And I thought the kids competed because the field was very, very deep. Because if you look at Redwoods girls who have really been running well, and their girls are young. I think they're running 8th and 9th and juniors 9th. And they're all really a young team. So this Redwood girls team, if they stay in this niche, they're going to be a contender here for the next 3-4 years with what they've got coming up. And they look very, very well. And they won it with 37. At that big of a team meet, that is solid. Noah Spicer was second at 122, and Melrose was at 153. Boys, again, like I said, it got to be really, really deep on the boys' side. The field felt like a mini state meet. That's how tight the competition was. And that same thing, Gavin was in the thick of things. It just the field was very solid. He ended up finishing 12th at 17.28. Then Tayden Clark was 28th at 18.32. Eli Hagelin was at 39th at 18.49. James Weber was 52nd at 19.39. Cade Solom was 62nd at 20.13. And then Joseph Felton was 59th at 20.10. Scoring-wise, the boys ended up finishing 5th, which I'm very pleased with that, just because, again, we're just building and going. Dassel Cocado came in, and they're a big school. They won it with 68. Redwood was second at 77. Sartell at 92. St. John's Prep at 97. For that many teams, that have that many teams under 100, that shows how solid the meet was. And it just, like I said, that just gave our kids a chance to compete, and we got a meet in, and then we moved on. And the scary thing is the kids go, this is 3 years in a row at Spicer we've had rain issues. And that's true. 3 years in a row we had rain. Now, 3 years ago, the JV got canceled because of rain. So, I mean, It just seems like that meet's been bitten by rain the last couple of years, but very, very, very solid meet. Like I said, it was fun to watch compete. It just was some of the kids like were overwhelmed, but it was still fun.
Okay. Well, up and coming week, I know you're going to host one.
Yes, we get the pre-section meet on Tuesday in Madison. It's going to be a 4:30 start. I know you guys were talking about the course has changed. The only thing we're changing on the course is the start. We changed the course last year for the start. Not everybody was up to see it. and I moved it offside so we could take the 1,000-meter loop so we can make two full loops instead of having 2.5 loops in. So we're going to see. I'm going to have that set the same way it was, and then I'm going to allow all the coaches to tell me which way they want to go, because I'll have both courses set for the section meet. I can go either way we want to go, but what do they feel is best for their athletes, and what do they think is because when I design a course, I look what's best for the athletes, for them to run fast, to be competitive, not worrying about the spectator part. The spectators got to fill in around, but we want the kids to run fast, they run competitive, and not have any issues, and that's what I'm going to really look at, have that, but that will be a big, that got bigger now. I think we're looking at now 16 teams coming. Okay. We're going, and I just saw Laverne's on the roster now. If Laverne comes up, we're going to have probably the top three teams on both boys and girls in the section coming up, and I think two of them are ranked in state. You're also going to see the Milbank team that's coming over. That's very, very solid, both boys and girls. So it's going to turn into a big, big event over there. We'll start at 4:30 with the junior high girls, and then we'll go all the way through junior high boys, varsity, and then we'll run JVs together over there. So it'll be a very solid field over there, and be a lot of people. I hope the weather holds. I know someone said 80 degrees on Tuesday. I don't know if that's what I heard or not, but that's what they're talking, 80 degrees. So hopefully that won't be an issue, but, you know, again, there's going to be a lot of people there on Tuesday. So if you want to see some very, very talented runners throughout the state that are going to be there, it's going to be a good field to look at.
That's all you have then?
Yep, that's all we got, because we're off. And then the following week, see, we ran the border battle up at Grand Forks, was traditionally always this Saturday, this week from today, but it's been moved a week later, so we're a week later off that. So we're going to plan to go up on the 30th, so that's a week later. So just get one meet this week, so it should be kind of nice with homecoming festivities, all that going on, so the kids can do that week and still. Both schools are having, so it really gets to be interesting.
Okay, thanks, John.
No problem.
John Cherb on Cross Country. We'll be talking volleyball after this.
It's Applefest in Appleton this weekend. The Appleton Area Chamber invites you to come on over and have some fun. Saturday kicks off with the Fun Run, Walk, and 5K Run put on by Appleton Area Health, starting at the elementary school at 8 in the morning. Be a two-person golf tournament through the day at the Appleton Golf Course, bike rodeo at 9 a.m., flea market and craft show at Riverview Park from 9 to 3. Be a Appleton Museum Art Display Tour, 10 to 4, needle and thread quilt exhibit in the Appleton Arts and Culture Center. There'll be Riverview Park kids activities starting at 10 a.m. Dog parade at 10:30 this morning. The Lac Parle Valley Chili Cook-Off Contest will be at Riverview Park at noon. Be bingo at Shooter's Bar and Grill at 2. Button drawings and awards at 3. Duck races on the Pomme de Terre River, 4 p.m. Fire Department Pork Chop Feed, 5 to 7:30. And then from 7:30 to 11:30, the Honky Tonk Stardust Cowboys will be at the Chuck Brown Building. They'll have food available, and they'll celebrate 150 years of Appleton with fireworks at dusk this evening. And then coming up on Sunday, the big parade at 2:30 in the afternoon. If you'd like to participate, no registrations needed. Just come on over, line up over at St. John's Catholic Church. And again, the parade starts at 2:30, goes through Main Street in Appleton. All this happening in Appleton for the annual Apple Fest celebration. See a movie this weekend at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, September 15th through Monday, September 18th in Theater 1. It's My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3, rated PG-13. And in Theater 2, Denzel Washington stars in The Equalizer 3, rated R. Both show at 7 o'clock nightly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Well, welcome back to the Coach's Show. We're talking volleyball with Brooklyn. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you had a couple of matches this past week. First off, Ortonville, and that was a
yeah. it was started rough, but I mean, we came back and fought it, so it felt good. The first two games, I don't think I've been so aggravated with my girls before, just because the team that was out there was not my team at all. So, you know, after that second set, it's kind of just pushing them to realize, like, okay, you know what? We have to right now just kind of let those last two games go, because it is so hard to go into a third game when you're down two sets, especially against a team that, you know, we had expectations of beating them. So we kind of just, like, let that go. That third set, we were up by, a lot. And that first time out, they came in, and I'm just kind of screaming with high energy. Like, I don't even grab a drink, get back out there. Like, that's my team, and that's the team I want to see the rest of the game. So, overall, I think we did really good. Our serves were amazing. We had I think we had like 16 ace serves throughout that game. Claire kind of led us with the 7 ace serves. Then Brandy had 5. Peyton had 3. Abby had 2. Caitlin had 3. Jalen had 2. So it was a lot of ace serves for us. And that is something that I really, really practice. We probably serve about 60 balls in practice, 60 to 100 balls in practice, because nothing's more irritating than serving a ball out or in the net, right. You know, so right. I was very, very proud of them for that. And like a couple girls that stood out, we picked Jalen Lee as player of the game. She had 15 kills, 3 digs, 2 aces and a block. She does a very, very good job for us on the front row. She is quick on her feet. She can close the block, gets her touches on the block, and anytime you give her the ball, she's very court aware of what's going on. If she might go up and swing, but if she doesn't see someone in the front row, she's going to tip the ball there. That's something that we really, really worked on over the summer with her. Claire Borsted was a huge asset for us in the back row. She had 4 assists, 24 digs, and 7 aces. This is the first year Claire's ever been a libero for me, so we really, really are pushing her mental game for her, because she might have a tendency to kind of get down on herself, but this last week she has not. She's definitely been a leader out on the court for me, and I couldn't be more proud of her for that, especially in the beginning of the season, having that strong mentality. And then Caitlin Kittleson had 3 kills, 10 assists, 10 digs, and 3 ace serves. Caitlin's just probably one of the scrappiest setters I know. Having her play back row for me last year was probably, I know it's not ideally what she wanted because she didn't set for me last year, but I think it made her such a valuable setter this year. She's so worried about getting balls up on defense that she's not releasing early just to worry about setting. So she's probably about one of the scrappiest setters that I've seen. So I'm very, very proud of her for that too. And she does a good job getting the ball to where we need it to be too. She's court aware as well. So if she's going up and setting and sees that their left front and left back are inching towards the middle, she's going to dump a ball for us. Okay. So very, very good, skill of being court aware with her. So we took 5, or we went 5 sets with Ortonville, and I kind of like blacked out at that end of the game. We got that Brandy ended it with an ace serve at the end. Of course, what better way to end it with an ace serve with how good we were serving, that I just ran out on the court. I'm like, oh yeah, like we have to shake hands, because it was just I was so proud as a coach, just because I have the never give up mentality, and they do, and I saw that on Tuesday too. So it was just one of those things where it's felt like we almost won the state championship. I don't know, like it's the beginning of the season, but it's just when you see them coming back from 0-2 and like changing a whole rotation 4 days before that, you know, it's just something to be proud of as a coach.
Yeah. So that third or the fifth one, yep, goes to only 15, and yep, you were behind there for a while, yep, and then you came back and tied it up, and
yeah,
then eventually won it.
Yeah, and that's just like one of those things that we're kind of working on as a team. Like, if our pass has a good pass and our hitters can't hit, the next point, like, they need to work as a team, because sometimes we'll be like, we won't have a good pass, and then the next ball, we'll hit it in the net. So it's just like racking up those errors. We can't be doing that. Like, we have to flow. Like, mm-hmm, I always say, like, everybody has to do their job. If we make 2 errors, the third one, we have to get it. So we had a few of those early on in that 15, when it's the fifth set. So we came back, though, and, I mean, it didn't start very pretty, but we just still took a win.
That's right. So.
And then we played Mineota. Lovely Mineota. They're a good team. You know, and despite the scores, I think the highest we scored was like 15 points against them. And when I watch tape back, it did not feel like that was the score. We had great volleys with them. We were doing good things. And I honestly did not see one girl get down on themselves. And it's hard when you go into Mineota, you're like, you get that bug in your stomach because you're like, oh my God, we're playing Mineota. But none of them had that. None of them were like not trying. I had girls digging for balls. I had girls hustling to get to the block. I had girls chasing down to the backside of the gym, getting balls to return them back. So I was proud of them for that. And that's all I asked them. I was like, what's the worst that can happen? We not try, you know, so we definitely went out there and did that. There's a couple things we definitely need to work on. We gave probably like 16 free balls over the net, and against a team like Minnesota, can't do that. No. They're gonna rack up kills against us when we do that. So, and we gave Callie Kahn player of the game for that. She did a very good job with bringing the energy. Callie's very loud, very high energy, and that's definitely something I pride our team on. She had a couple blocks for us too, and she didn't have any hitting errors, which is huge. So we gave her that. But overall, every single day that the girls are in the gym, I see us getting better and better, and the girls want to get better. They're like, okay, we need it. Let's work on this. And they're taking everything serious. Yeah. I had them all diving on the floor yesterday, even Jalen Lee. So it was one of those things. So
B squad, C squad on the week.
B squad and C squad, they both lost against Ortonville and Minnesota. They have a very young team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, in about 5 years, it'll look really good for me, you know, with all their experience. But they're working out a couple quirks too. So it's just taking the time to work on the little things in the gym.
Next week,
Tuesday, we go to Lakeview. And then Thursday, we have our homecoming game against Canby. And then on Saturday, we are going to St. James for a tournament.
So Paul can probably reach you on Friday and interview you on the Tuesday, Thursday matches.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Well, thanks for the report.
Yeah, thank you
so
much.
Best of luck on homecoming week, and we'll hear about that tournament next Saturday in 2 weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you.
With the theme Neon Nights, the homecoming week at Lac Parle Valley kicks off with Coronation Monday, September 18th, 7 p.m. Queen candidates are Claire Borsted, Isabel Gertis, Caitlin Kittleson, Carly Kranz, Kaya Kranz, Grace Vosick. King candidates, Cale Benson, Eli Hagelin, T.J. Mitchell, Caden Molden, Caden Mortensen, and Peyton Rademacher. Again, homecoming on Monday evening, 7 o'clock at Lac Parle Valley High School for their homecoming. St. Edward Catholic Church in Minnesota is having their fall festival on Sunday, September 17th. Enjoy roast pork loin, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and all the trimmings served 11 to 1:30. Kids Carnival, 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. There'll be a silent auction, cake walk, country store, and more. Dinner tickets, $15 for adults. Kids 4 to 12, $5. 3 and under, eat free. Takeouts will be available. That's at St. Edward's Catholic Church in Minnesota, Sunday, September 17th. On Sunday, September 17th, the Sons of the American Legion will serve breakfast at the Bellingham Community Center from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The cost is $12 for adults, $8 for kids 6 and under, and everyone is encouraged to come on over.
Back at the Coaches Show with Dr. Hacker on the line. Three events to talk about, so let's hear your speedy voice.
Well, we started Monday in BBE, playing over in Belgrade. We got rained out, actually, but we were able to get enough matches completed that we picked up the win there. We had four wins before we got rained out, and that was with Hannah Oy, Kayla Jan, our first doubles team of Taylan Jorgensen and Gertie Sieg, and our second doubles team of Maya Virgie and Alexis Olson. The other matches were almost our Elsie Wiebe at fourth singles almost had her match done. She was 6-0, 4-0. In her second set when they called it because of rain. But we were able to pick up a win there, and then we moved over to Benson KMS on Tuesday. They're a solid team this year. We ended up posting a 5-2 loss. We picked up wins at two singles with Kayla Jan, and then at four singles, with Elsie Wiebe. Hannah Oy has been playing our number one pretty consistently this year, close there at 6-3, 7-5. And Sadie Hacker again close at three singles at 6-4, 6-4 loss there. So I'd like to, you know, be able to turn those around down the road. Taylin and Gertie played one doubles again and lost at that position 6-0, 6-4. Our two doubles team, Alexis Olson and Maya Virgie, tough match. They took the first set 6-4, lost the second one 6-2, and then lost 10-8 in a third set tiebreaker. So again, a couple, like three positions, I think, where if we could turn a couple of them around, we'd be on the other side of the win column here. Val Piotr and Jordan Johnson played our three doubles, picking up a loss 6-1, 6-2. You know, so that got us over to Morris on Thursday, and we got half the match there, and we got rained out. So So we've been on the road a lot. So we picked up, we ended up splitting. We had two matches done by the time, well, sorry, we had four matches done, two wins, two losses, by the time we got rained out on Thursday, and then turned around Friday and went back to finish up the match over there, which ended up being a 4-3 loss for us. So we picked up wins at 2-3 and 4 singles, and that was Kayla Jan, Sadie Hacker, and Elsie Wiebe. Hannah Boy played one singles, posted a loss 6-1, 6-0. And then Taylan Jorgensen and Gertie Sieg picked up a close match, lost 6-4, 6-3 at one doubles. Just playing some really good doubles, though. They've really progressed with their hitting, ball placement. They're playing very competitively at this point. It's, you know, we're peaking at the right time. We're wrapping up season here in about a week and a half. So hopefully, you know, they keep playing at that high level and bring that to the next couple of conference and section matches for us. Yeah. Alexis Olsen and Maya Virgie end up losing 6-2, 6-2. And then Val Chatter and Jordan Johnson were 6-1, 6-2. So that gets our overall record that we're 6-10 at this point. But, you know, I think we've had a growing season. We've got a lot of new players in, well, everybody's in a new position. So they're learning, and boy, you know, it's hard. Hannah always taking it on the chin a little bit, but she knows that she's our one singles player. Every time we line up against another team, she's going to be playing the best player they've got. So right. She's the one who's really going to be, you know, having to work hard and earn those wins. It's going to be a lot tougher there, but the gals up and down the lineup have done well. You know, Taylan Jorgensen went from three doubles to one doubles, Gertie Sieg from two doubles to one doubles. So again, big moves as far as quality of play and what's going to be expected of the players. And they're doing a nice job, continuing to improve, working hard in practices. And it shows on the court with how competitive we are. And, you know, I don't think at any point the other teams are feeling like this is going to be, you know, we're going to be one of those teams that they're going to just post an easy win over. They're going to have to earn it, or we're going to have to earn it one way or the other there. So, so next week we've got an open schedule at this point. So we've got a lot of practice coming up next week, so we should be well tuned up for that the week after, where we play Montevideo and McRae, and that finishes up our season at that point.
Okay, you must have a conference tournament coming up too.
Yeah, conference tournament is the last Saturday of the month here. Okay. Yep, and that's on the 30th up in Alexandria. So 2 weeks from today, yep, we'll be playing up there and wrapping things up.
Wow. Okay, well, best of luck. I guess we won't have to talk next Saturday morning because you don't have anything to report on.
No, yeah, we'll take a break for a week there.
Yeah, and then we'll talk on the after the 30th then.
That sounds great.
Okay, Dr. Brant Hacker on tennis. We'll take this break and finish out the Coach's Show after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, you'll find Bongard's cheese 10% off and Top Sirloin 10% off. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show. Going to finish out the show with three Dick Newman sick jokes of the week. I just did a week's worth of cardio after walking into a spider web. Number two, I love being old. I learn something every day and forget five other things. Just remember, once you're over the hill, you begin to pick up speed. Well, thank you for listening. That was a good culture show. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
KLQP, Madison Dawson, time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Wild wind and heavy rain. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. What was Hurricane Lee is churning toward shore. Fox Weather's Max Gordon.
Here in Portland, Maine, residents are bracing for high winds, heavy rain, coastal flooding, and potential power outages as Hurricane Lee comes ashore. Central Maine Power says they're ready for the storm.